Okay, the Psalms of Ascent are sung as you move towards the New Jerusalem, but then even more symbolically, during the Feast of Tabernacles, inside the temple, the Psalms of Ascent are read again, because it's the movement from the Jerusalem of the flesh to the New Jerusalem of the Spirit, which is then the permanent residence. Okay? 120.
In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me.
Now stop a minute. I'm going to try not to do that, but...
Right.
What?
It'll be on tape here.
Oh, shit.
Sorry.
The only time that the process can start in a human being. It's impossible other than nothing can happen in terms of a process until you're in distress. Therefore, the first words of the Psalm of Ascent, or the Psalms of Ascent, are, "In my distress I called." Okay?
Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue.
Whose? Your own.
What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesheph, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace.
Now remember. The whole process of what we're about is the renewal of the mind. That's the only battlefield. The process of life is so that the spirit, the soul, and the outward are the same. The human race tries to make the outward meet some standard without the inward being fulfilled. So what, in essence, the Feast of Rosh Hashanah is about, it's about the birth of Christ into the world, but in you, it's the beginning so that the soul, the spirit, and the flesh will be one. So when you, the essence of Christ, his personality in you, has long dwelt in the tents of Kedar. The tabernacle of Kedar is what it says. Kedar is, well, in particular, it's the tribe from which Mohammed came, but in type, it's the falsehood of your life. No matter how you've tried, you've lived thus far in confusion. Because your mind, which is the tent of Kedar in type, has been continually at war with the reality that doesn't depend on external circumstances. Now it's time for you to stop dwelling in the tents of Kedar so you truly have one dwelling place, and that's only in the New Jerusalem.
I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war.
Lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore.
Okay. There's only one meaning of going forth and coming in. And that's from the New Jerusalem out into the world. In the New Jerusalem, there's no testing. In the New Jerusalem, there's always joy, there's always peace. There's always fulfillment. Outside of the New Jerusalem, there is fire, there is burning, there is confusion, there's death. But God has designed us so that we can't just stay in the New Jerusalem. Maybe you haven't even known about it, but you have been going in and out of the New Jerusalem all your life. But now God says, at this feast, that from now on, when you go out of the New Jerusalem, it'll be as though you're in the New Jerusalem. Okay?
What is verse 5? Shade upon the right hand.
Well, it's a place, the right hand is always the seed, it's the word Zeruah. It means the seed. And the shade is just the place where you escape from the heat.
It's like the seed, God has protected that seed in us. He's shaded it.
Amen.
Okay. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Okay, now again, you gotta understand this. From now on, it's no more worthwhile for you just to read these words. You got to empathize it and feel it. There's only one place that's the house of the Lord. It's not here. It's not in some church. It's not in Israel. The house of the Lord is the New Jerusalem, the temple that all of the patriarchs saw, which Moses built a type of, which Solomon and David built a type of. But now, the tabernacle of the Lord is now within you. So the entering in, and you are glad when we say, now let us go unto the house of the Lord, because now that part of you, which is your soul, which is your mind, your emotions, your will now enter into that point in which there is total peace.
Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good.
Yeah. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us.
Okay, now I want, because of what we're going to study, those two verses are the most important verses that I want you to take away from this Feast of Rosh Hashanah. But if you understood slavery, you might understand what we're about better. But in the same way that if you were a bond slave and that your role in life was to meet whoever you were a slave to's every whim without them telling you anything, so your position is as you wait on God. Some of you know what I feel about service in restaurants and stuff. But in Europe, at the better restaurants, a flick of your finger, just a slight movement, brings the next course. For those of you that smoke, an ashtray is not allowed to have more than two wax in it. But it's an incredible type. It's like without any verbal orders or statements being given, the servants or the waiters and waitresses are so attuned to that style that just a movement that is meaningless to anyone else brings that which is necessary for the fulfillment of that process. Okay.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud.
Jude, do you have a Bible? No. 124.
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who have not given us as a prey to their teeth.
You understand the waters are always symbolic of the human race. Still, the waters that are in the ocean or the sea, the proud waters.
Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity.
Remember, again, from now on, you've got to clearly, with black and white clarity, see the difference between good and evil, soul and spirit. From God's standpoint, there is no one good but him and that which he originates. There are two ways to grieve God. One is by doing evil, the other is by doing good. From now on, you must know that good is that which originates and is empowered and activated by God as you wait, and evil is your self-effort. It doesn't matter whether it's in God's name or in Winnie the Pooh's name. If it's self-effort, for anyone else's sake, if for anything, then it's evil, it's iniquity. Because it is, from a spiritual standpoint, any effort, any self-effort, is you are crucifying the Son of God afresh.
Is this verse saying like God is not going to allow things to get to such a point that you will have to use your own effort?
That's right. He said he will not allow that to happen.
He'll provide a way of escape.
Right. But again, it's in context. As you see, as you are looking unto him, that can't happen. If you take your eyes off of him, he'll let your own worst fears come upon you.
What isn't self-effort? What is not self-effort?
Breathing.
Okay. That's why I didn't ask what was, because I mean that was
a whole
list of things. I didn't ask what wasn't.
Well, again, this
things
is
that are done without self-consciousness. Which could be a lot of things.
Everything in the universe. Again, I know you guys hate this analogy, but you got to go through the process. This is a book. This isn't a book. This is a book. That's the process of your mind being renewed. Anything that's done in the abandonment of self is not self-effort. Everything that's done with, in your ideas of cause and effect, is self-effort. That's why we are not permitted to judge, because it's only you that knows whether it's self-effort. acknowledge him in all your way. Am I communicating?
Yes, he...
I can't tell you whether or not something you're doing is self-effort. Only you can.
I know that. I mean, as soon as you say that, I remember that again. But as soon as you say anything at all, my mind takes it and adjusts it and starts looking for the correct thing. Even when you're saying there's no correct thing, in the same breath.
Okay, now, again, what? Remember, we have gone up to Jerusalem early so that we can participate in that which has been the rites of purification, because we have all touched the dead body. And the dead body is this. You touch the dead body. Well, the simplest way to say it is you touch the dead body by taking yourself seriously. Okay? Who's reading? Where are you?
Verse 4.
What psalm? I forgot last.
25, verse 4. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel.
Okay, now you see, your mind, the human mind, will read that psalm, that part of it, and says, the Lord, as for such that, as in verse 5, as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, your mind will say, okay, as to such that turn aside to do something that I think is crooked. The Spirit says, as to such that do or turn aside to their ways, which are all crooked. You gotta? There is no good in you. It's only in the abandonment of self that you walk in the Spirit and just live. Man, you're free beyond freedom. And His promise is that every need will be met in that context. A need is impossible. Now we are going to make this line of demarcation so clear that there will be a readiness in you to revenge anything other than that. Amen?
When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream.
You know what? Turned again. We have always been Israel. The whole human race has always been Israel. Because the seed of Christ is in you. You have been in the diaspora. You have been in Babylon. You've been locked into the false religion. Most of you that think you're not religious are the ones that are most religious. Because you still are judging good and evil for yourself. That's the essence of the false religion, the hallmark of the whore. But now He's turned our captivity. We've gotten sick of being captive. So He's turned it, and that turning is what we call repentance. And the Lord has turned the captivity of Zion. Okay?
Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Hallelujah.
He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children.
Now just that wipes out everything.
Yeah.
Oh, but I think you should do this. Well, get fucked, lady. I think you should do this. Well, go worship with the Jerusalem that now is. It isn't captive with her children.
Lo, children are an heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of one's youth.
Of the youth.
Well, that's not what's written here.
Oh, he's got the heretical Bible.
You got the heretical Bible. Get rid of the heretical Bible.
Well, give me that one.
That was
just me. What time is it?
As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
Okay, now what the hell does that mean? Is that saying that Gary's a neat guy because his quiver is full? No, it's talking about God. And you are they that go forth as arrows, that the way is certain. You shall not miss the mark. Okay.
What does it mean, it is vain for you to rise up early to sit up late to eat bread and sorrow?
Whatever you do is vanity. That's why the cross has to come into effect. That's why the abandonment of self must be the only order of the day. Okay.
Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be. It shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children are like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus the man be blessed that feareth the Lord.
Why don't you read 4 again?
Okay. Behold, that thus the man shall the man. Ah! Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Okay. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel.
Man.
Many times have they afflicted me of my youth, but Israel now say, many times have they afflicted me for my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The flowers piled upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous, he has kept us on the course of the wicked. Let all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth before it grows back, wherewith the mower filleth not the tan, nor he that bindeth shoes his bosom. Do they which go by faith, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
Can you understand why it's the whole idea of laying hands suddenly and no man? The whole idea it's not just stupid. To pray for someone, no matter how you might feel about them, to pray for them without praying at their residence is Zion. As I told you when we had this big deal with Tom and Darlene the other night, God doesn't need any more hunks of protoplasm running around. He didn't want any healed hunks of protoplasm. He doesn't want any rich hunks of protoplasm. He doesn't care whether they're your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children. He's concerned with one singular thing. And that is that seed which they contain may become part of the body of the New Jerusalem. And until you begin to see with him, and until you begin to confess with him, your very prayers, your very sincerity is rebellion in his eyes. Capisce? Oh, you love to be so sincere. Well, I'm just praying for him, brother. No, you're not. You're praying for yourself. Now, especially those that are going to start teaching, you've got to have this clarity in your mind. Otherwise, you will be led astray in a New York second. Okay?
One other comment on more than 49, where it says, "The Lord is righteous; He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked." I was thinking about the, you know, woe to those that sin, as it were, with a cart rope. I mean, that, you know, that's saying that those cords are cut. We'll see.
That's right. Yeah, that we try to bring into the promise the cart rope. But the cart rope has to be connected to something. It's connected to the cart. And it's bringing all the baggage from Egypt. Baggage from Babylon.
Baggage from Babylon.
Okay.
Now the wicked are the secular humanists?
Baptists.
Ideas,
opinions, anything that you're taking a stand on. Who's reading?
Me?
John.
What psalm are we reading? 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that search or watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. But Israel hopeth.
Do you understand what that means?
Yeah. Who's watching?
Okay, in the temple, by law, there had to be a sacrifice made at dawn. Otherwise, Israel was in jeopardy of being destroyed. And it was, you know, one of the burnt offerings, and one of the five offerings, which we'll get into in detail later. But so there were people whose only job was to watch for the first ray of sunshine. Now, the problem was, is if it was a cloudy day, like, you know, like God gave me this great birthday present yesterday. It was an eclipse. And then nobody knew it. Because it was cloudy. So what did Israel do? They had to define new moons. They had to define which days were which days. And everything was dependent on the particulars of when the full moon was, the day the moon was full, or the day of the new moon. Well, they had people all over the hills that went for miles and miles and miles and sent flares and messengers and set up systems of so that in case it was cloudy that they knew. And that's why one of the reasons Samaritans were hated so bad, because the Samaritans up in the mountains, they'd go around and they'd give them false signals. Well, they had their own definition of it. Anyway, so the idea of waiting for the morning is that essence. That, I mean, it's like if you knew that if something had to be done when the first ray of light came over the mountain, and if you didn't do it, you were going to die, then you would wait for the morning.
It's like waiting for that, for us. Waiting on the Lord like that is waiting for our sacrifice of the moment, whatever it is.
to be seen.
As they were waiting for the morning sacrifice.
Okay.
Who's next?
Yeah.
Verse 7.
Did Israel hope in the Lord?
John, wait a minute. I hate to tell you this, but from now on, somebody's just going to be just checking you.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Harry?
Lord, my heart is not...
Hard. Wait a minute. Harry shouldn't read this one. No, go ahead.
I don't know why I can do this.
Santa.
Lord, remember David in all his affliction, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob.
Amen.
Lo, we heard of it at Ephrathah. We found it in the field of the woods. We will go into his tabernacle and will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth.
You understand there that in Hebrew that says, turn not away the face of thine Christ.
Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body shall I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forever.
Hallelujah.
For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy.
Now again, in verse 16, I will also clothe her priests with Jesus. Yeshua is the name for salvation. Christ is the name for anointed or anoint. So I'll clothe her priests with Jesus. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision to fulfill the desires of the flesh, and the joy of the Lord shall be your strength.
There will I make the horn of David the bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish.
Amen.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, there, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Larry?
Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion.
Okay. Now we've just, again, I could play all kinds, you know, we could talk forever, and we've done it before a little bit about what they saw as they were moving up towards Jerusalem. They couldn't start it until they got in Israel, and they finished, they couldn't sing the last psalm until they were in the gates of the temple, the last two psalms. You know, they finally made it there. Some of these guys had been traveling, they'd been coming from India. Jersey. But they finally got to the point, and they said as they walked through the gates, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like as the oil running down Aaron's beard. And again, that's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, putting on the Spirit. Now we can drink the cup of sanctification. So let's pour a glass.
In Psalm 134 there, it's talking about the servants that stand by night in the house. That's kind of in there with the same picture of waiting for the dawn.
Right.
And what we talked about Rosh Hashanah being like the dawn.
Right. You understand that to the world, well, not to the world, but to the Pharisees, abandonment will always look like license. Okay, the first cup is a cup of sanctification, and it's the cup before all feasts.
What do you have in your glass? Wine cooler.
Blessed be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has guarded us and kept us and allowed us to reach this time. To life. Now this.
Kids lost the shofar.
Okay, that's all right.
I don't know where it is.
We don't have to. Wait a minute, we can't. Manise has to drink a sip of wine. We just went, allowed us to reach this time one. Remember again, I told you, you got to understand this. God doesn't give a holy flip about places. He cares about a time, because it's in that time, the appointed time, that he's using to reveal himself in you. And that feast day, that appointed time, that moed, is what becomes critical in our walk. Then he said,
just a moment. When you said to life, it just became clear to me that we are drinking to God.
Amen.
It's to him we are
blessed. Blessed art thou.
Now, the next one is, this is another cup of sanctification that's unique to two things. One is the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, and the other is the Feast of Jubilees. Jubilee is the, remember, the only happens once every 50 years. But it's, blessed be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by thy word, and has instructed us to hear the call of the shofar. Shofar.
Is that what we're waiting for?
Now, what I want you to visualize and empathize with is at that point when they drank the toast in the temple and the sound of the ram's horn was blown, Christ was being born 3 miles away.
And happy were the people who knew
this. And happy were the people who knew or understood the sound of the trumpet.
What was the, was the horn sort of like a fanfare thing?
No.
What was it?
Simply to call, they blew the horn, remember this. The horn was blown, and that's the essence of the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. The horn was blown so that that which was in the upper chambers and that which was in the lower chamber became one. And again, in their view of the heavens.
Calling it all together.
And again, another way of saying it, he called God, God left the judgment seat and went to the mercy seat. Another way of saying it is he, and this is the key in us, because the kingdom of God is now within us, But we have to know what they were talking about then before we can know what it means. But now it means the making one, the two that are in you. It's calling, the Son is to make the Word become flesh in you. Okay?
There's something I read, you might be going to say this, about the fact, the idea of the ram's horn is turned or curved, you know, being a picture of repentance because we turn our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah, you can only use an antelope horn or a ram's horn. You cannot use a horn that's straight. It has to be the horn that curves. It curves back on itself. There's a lot of stuff that I forget. Yeah, the essence, the essential feature of the sounding of the horn from a spiritual standpoint is the turning from self, obviously. Okay, the first thing that was done after the sounding, now we're going to go into, I'm going to sort of skip a little bit, but according to Jewish tradition, the horn was blown continually from sundown until sundown for a lot of different kinds of things. But at the start of the process, it was blown three times. It was blown to remove the seal on three different books. The first book contained those who were accepted by the Father, who were accepted in life. And it was a very short book. It was the Book of Life. Now, then the second book contained those who were the ones that had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They were without hope, where repentance was impossible. That was the third book. The second book. The third book was the book that God was saying, "You have 10 days." And that was the days of awe between the point in time of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that was the third book that was opened, that you have 10 days to turn from self. And that's why they're called the days of awe, because in type, they're your whole life to awake from the slumber and to stop chasing the shadows. Now, if we could but see, we would all know that we were in the first book because of who we contain, and we know it. Now, you got 10 days to know it, baby. Now, the first thing that we're going to do is you read Psalm 47 seven times. We're going to read it 70 times. And they walked around the altar seven times as they read Psalm 47.
Who all did that part?
The priests.
How many priests?
Bunches. And they walked around the altar, sang the 47th Psalm, and blew the snot out of the trumpet. They blew the trumpet a lot. The reason is they wanted, it was symbolic. It's the same thing that happened in Joshua 6, I guess it is. We'll read it in your own time, but we're not going to read that now. But it's when they entered into the promise, but they had to go through Jericho. And Jericho Jericho in the Hebrew means city of fragrance. And it was the city of frankincense and fragrance, which was the wrong scent because it wouldn't pass through the fire. Not frankincense, but it was a city of what am I trying to say? Huh? No, things that are like perfume and
aromatic?
Musk oil.
No, things that you would normally put on yourself to make yourself smell better.
Perfume.
What? But the only, remember, the only thing that passes through the fire that's the sweet savor is frankincense. And that's why Christ was given that as the gift. So we are a sweet savor always unto God. But to the one we're a savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. But anyway, the point of Jericho is that the walls that have been separating you from the revelation and from each other will be blown away as the ram's horn is sounded.
Now, I've been studying about Jericho, and it's like the old world's oldest city that has these fortifications. You know, they go back,
thick.
They don't even know how far they go back. And the giant walls and a tower before anybody had them.
Now, the only one that was saved out of Jericho, there was only one saved. It was Rahab the harlot. And she knew she was a whore. Just like Gomer. Okay, go to Psalm 47.
Psalm what?
Psalm 47.
Well, Jericho, they also blew horns and stuff, right? That was
right. Yeah, they marched around Jericho for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they blew the horn, and the walls fell down.
Joshua did the battle with Jericho.
Gary, will you read it?
Well, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of the triumph. The Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. Selah.
Now remember, whenever it says, talks about Jacob whom he loved, it's also talking about Esau who he hated. And they were chosen before they were born. You know, you after the flesh are Esau. That's what the word means. Your true identity, which is being revealed, your Jacob, is being transformed into Israel through your struggle. The transformation, once you get that in your mind, is inexorable. Amen?
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted.
Okay, now there's two. What? There's two kind of ideas. First of all, that God is in control of all power. That's what the word shields mean. There is no power that exists that isn't of God. You cannot possibly begin the process of truly being transformed by the renewing of your mind until you know that there is no power that exists on earth that isn't ordained and directed by God. Otherwise, you will always be fighting against something. You will always be trying to change yourself. You will be trying to change others. You will try to do anything, you know, to you get into a stupid thing. So the first thing that we have to know is that God is in charge of all power. Not just in charge of, that's not strong enough. He's directing all power. The second thing is that God is reigning over the heathen. Every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing. They don't know it. Everything is serving his purpose. All battles have been fought and won except one. You, here, your mind. Now, as this psalm is read, seven times, then the walls that are separating those different aspects of you are crumbling. All you have to do is hear the sound of the trumpet or the ram's horn. Okay, now we go to Psalm 81.
Psalm 47, I was thinking about that, you know, God is over all the shields, all the protection. But that's like all the stuff that we've been through with all the high place identities and all that stuff. Those have all been our shields. What this is saying here is that's been nothing but God.
Amen. Psalm 81. Who just read that?
Gary.
Did you read yet, Pete? Go ahead. You read half and Lee read half.
Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel and the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel.
Now, do you understand this? I mean, in this case, Rosh Hashanah started last night at sundown. It's going till tonight at sundown.
For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. I called it in time of trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, that thou wilt hearken unto me.
There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it.
Okay.
Hey, we read that sometime
recently. Well, I know. We've read all three of these psalms that we're about to read, but I want to read it again. Think on this. Do you understand here that he's saying it's the idea of hearken. Hearken is the same as Shema. It means to hear with understanding. That's, if you can't hear with understanding, then the injunction is don't give place for your head to rest, don't give rest to your eyelids until you find out the where the God of your God is abiding, where his habitation is. If you're just in some kind of weirded out state, then read the Psalms of Ascent, return to the New Jerusalem instantly. The idea that it's God's business to tear down the idols, it's not yours. Your only business is to look, to see. Because and that's tied to your hearing. What you hear is what you see, what you see is what you do. Okay? And we're going to see that clearer here in a minute, some of the things that happened in Rosh Hashanah. All right.
But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned their hand against their adversaries. The hitters of the Lord should have submitted to themselves unto him. But their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the feast of the wheat. With honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee.
Okay. Psalm 89, just verse 1 to 15. Now these were read or sung. And this one, Psalm 89, was read during the drink offering, which was being done here at the beginning of the feast. The drink offering is where the wine was poured out over the altar. Anyway. This is also one that sounds like you should sing. Barb?
Sing the verses of the Lord forever, because my mouth will make them my thankfulness to all generations. For I said, mercy shall be built up forever, and faithfulness shall now establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build it up throughout all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness in all the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, and the waves thereof arise, and thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with a strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand, and high as thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall be before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy presence.
Okay. Every time you hear the word joyful sound, it's talking about the sound of the ram's horn. Again, happy or blessed are the people that know the sound of the horn. Now, to know the sound of the horn, you have to know what happened in the sound of the horn. What happened in the sound of the horn is Christ was born. I can visualize that he broke through the matrix at the exact sounding of the first sounding of the horn, the ram's horn. Happened just as it was getting dark. Now, happy is the people who knew that sound. Now, again, that's nice and happy for that time. But unless you know it, you're not happy. You're not blessed. You know nothing. Unless you know that he is born in you, it's just a nice little pleasant history book. And so there's a consciousness first of him being in you, and then there's a consciousness that he's always been in you, and then there's a consciousness that he's been with him that is from the very beginning, and then there's a consciousness that there can be, therefore, no separation ever. So it's not, I mean, there's a singular time in you when you recognize that what the, you know, fundamentalists call being born again, but it's far more significant than that.
Like all of time is a birthing of that.
Right.
Salvation coming through.
Right. You work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And you work it out so that there is no arena of your life which isn't covered or birthed in him. And that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the afternoon, is this idea of that we now know who the beast is. It's talked about the beast in Revelation that was raised from the dead and gave power, and the dragon gave him power, and he had power over all nations and kingdoms. Well, that beast is your mind, because at the cross Christ overcame that beast. He was killed, but he's been given the appearance of having been raised from the dead, and this is your this. And now we'll see how he is now cast into the pit. We don't have to sweat him anymore. Exodus. Seventeen. Now, part of the process, I told you this the other night, but on Rosh Hashanah, well, let me just read it. Nehemiah 8 was read, and it was really 1 through 10, but I'm just read 8 through 10. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribes, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto your Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Now, the words of the law that they read were from Exodus 20 through Exodus 20, Exodus 20 to Exodus 23. And that's whenever you see that they read the law. Thank you, Becca.
What did she say? These are for Ollie.
What do you call it, a fish rift? When you know, people get together little articles and things for their mentor? Put together in a book.
My feeling is that we should read this real quickly. 20 to 23, and I want you to interrupt a little bit if there's something you really have a question about.
Really, really quick.
Just quickly, we're gonna read this.
Otherwise, Doug.
Zoom through this passage.
What? We should have done this Thursday. Actually, we should have done it this morning, but I didn't have the guts to tell you that we were going to start meeting at 10.
We would have been here by 3.
Yeah, right. Doug is going to read the whole thing until his voice gives out, and then Daryl can read.
Or his nerve gives up.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
If anybody says anything.
You're not going to be able to do that in Larry's Bible study.
And all the people saw thunderings and lightnings. Because they laughed.
Because they coveted their neighbor's ass. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. That means they got it. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not speak with us, lest we die.
Wait a minute.
Or, what did I say? Let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I talk with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all the places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. Thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn.
What was the silver?
Redemption. Christ.
And gold was?
Glory. The finished product.
So these were probably in reference to that same kind of silver.
Well, it was the idea that you're not supposed to make any image of what God is, because or any, you know, except that which is in the tabernacle, the one which is the tabernacle. Okay.
If thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And if the man...
How does that relate to bond servants of Christ? The thing about the ears being
circumcised.
Is that a type of circumcision?
Probably could be, yeah.
And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. If she please not her master who has betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her into a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. And if he hath betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take unto him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if he do not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from thine altar that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad on his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit, only he shall pay for the loss of his kind, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according to the woman's husband will
according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. And if an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, then the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. Whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done to him. The ox shall put a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned.
If they put somebody to death right here, they stone them to death?
And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. And if one man's ox hurt another so that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also shall they divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. And if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall no blood be shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be an ox or an ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, it shall put in his beast, it shall feed in another man's field of the beast of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, his best, shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn, or the standing corn, or the field be consumed therewith, he that hath kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought into judges to see whether he have put his hand into his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass, or an ox, or a sheep, or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof. He shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with him, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with him, he shall not make it good, for it being hired thing, it came for his hire. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword,
and your wives be widows, and your children be fatherless. Thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be unto him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. Thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? And it come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thine ripe fruits, and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen, and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it to me. And ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. We'll read those chapters.
Number 28. That shall not revile the gods.
Hmm? Yeah, what does that mean?
Number 28.
It's probably like when it says that even the angels didn't bring a railing accusation against Satan, but so the Lord cursed thee. It's like... Put yourself up personally against the idols of something. I'm not making you
this kid, idol. Can we close that door? I'll just read the last one.
Wait. Is that what
you
said?
What?
About the gods.
Oh, yeah. The gods? I'm sorry, I wasn't... What did you ask?
Thou shalt not revile the gods.
Or curse the ruler of thy people. It's like...
It's the gods there doesn't mean like the word means judges. It means like, you remember that he had appointed judges in the 70, so it's the same thing in the New Testament, which says, you know, don't bring an accusation against an elder except by the mouth of two or three witnesses, and like, it's that kind of a... Yeah, it should be judges is what's better translation. Huh? What? Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift or bribe, for the bribe blindeth the wise, and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of the stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years shalt thou sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But in the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days shalt thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. Make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times shalt thou keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed, the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt. And excuse me. And none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of the ingathering, which was in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. 3 times in the year all the males shall appear before the Lord God, Thou shalt not offer blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shalt the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days will I fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. But by little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, I will surely be a snare unto thee. Now, when the people heard it, they cried. If you notice, the Ten Commandments are the trespasses of the against God and against your fellow man. Okay, then this is a further, what we just read was a further explanation of them. It's things that you do against God and against man. Now when we get in the book of Leviticus, that's expanded to 613. Now, you can't ignore the law. There's not one jot or tittle of the law that shall pass away. What's the purpose of the law?
To reveal sin.
To shut up your mouth, so that you stop justifying yourself to anyone or anybody. So that you will know the depth of what you have been forgiven of. And when you know the depth of what you have been forgiven of, then it will be impossible for you to not forgive someone else. But as long as you, with the rest of the human race, is living in the illusion that you're an okay person, you're pretty nice, then you're living in an illusion. You're living a lie. You're living the lie of the beast whose head had been wounded but has been resurrected falsely. You're living the lie of your own attempt itself divinity. We all know all that. Now, the purpose of the law, as it said earlier, was to prove you, test you. Now, what happens? We got earlier, now we're going to go back to Exodus 17, which is one of the readings. The first thing that happened was the Amalekites came out and attacked Israel. Let's see what happened. Exodus 17. Well, nothing.
In the number of thy days, I will fulfill. The number of days.
Well.
70 years.
You know, in the flesh, it means that you will be here. You know, the promise of God is that it's a 70-year business. You'll be 70 years old when you die. But in the spirit, it means that. Your reasons for being here will be fulfilled.
You'll be whole.
You'll be complete.
Whole and complete. In the flesh is having all this stuff and everything's fruitful, and you'll live out your days, you know, without having to get cut off early or something like
right.
that.
Right.
In the spirit, it's knowing who you are. And all that.
So where did we just go to?
Exodus 17.
This is a reading for Rosh Hashanah.
Right. Exodus 17, 8 through 16. Would you bring me some coffee, please?
The feast is continued on the next tape entitled Rosh Hashanah 5.